T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. 855-839-1210. Dan just told me that guy that we brought you way back when, it's like 6 weeks ago, Doug Mastriano, out there in one of those, he's a state senator. He was the guy that originally tried to break loose what's going on the waiver wire there. You know, this website where you can't tell. Governor Wolf just released, well, here are the ones that got a waiver. Now you go figure it out on Friday. That ought to be enough for Republicans when they subpoenaed it. He just held a news conference calling for the dismissal of Rachel Levine. Now, others have kind of said this, but they don't hold news conferences. They're not putting it on the line because you know there's going to be a pushback on this big time from the Inquirer and others that's discriminatory and everything else. Finally, it's coming to a head. And we have one of the guys who I think immediately his fine legal sense, he knows that, and we'll bring him on in a second, a constitutional lawyer that I've worked with over the years, that the play here is not to go after Wolf's emergency or police power. Supreme Court is going to let governors do just about anything. That's what it comes down to. But what he did, what he's hiding with both this website, that we don't know the procedures, the back and forth, the emails, why people were stopped from getting a waiver. And they're not giving us the nursing home numbers, morbidities, nursing home cases, and all that. That's another area. And at least on paper, even the ACLU knows that transparency, if you don't have that, it is greatly suspect. So let's get an update. He's got several balls in the air. I have a lot to ask. Wally Zimmelong, who is an attorney and is somebody who's already filed, I told you, federally, a constitutional case around said waivers. And a lot of he had to go back and refile, as I understand it, because a lot of other people came into play here on this. He joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Wally, welcome in. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on again, Dom.
Well, as I understand it, so the suit is filed, and I'm very happy that we found a listener that I felt so bad for with a pool company who had apparently pool companies within a stone's throw, 5, 8, 10 miles, two of them. They got the waiver. He didn't. They seem to be almost exactly the same. Is that the principal plaintiff, Wally?
It is, Dom. And I thank you for the kind words, but it's really your efforts that have brought the inequities of this waiver program to the attention of folks like me. And I'm glad we were able to link up, and I'm glad your listeners were able to speak out and now have somewhat of a voice. But yes, you're correct, Dom. The first principal plaintiff was a pool company. And what we found out was this pool company was identical in all respects to two competitors. However, our client was inexplicably denied a waiver, and the two competitors, one of whom was located only about 3 miles down the road, was granted a waiver. And there just wasn't any reasonable explanation for it. And it just underscores how arbitrary this waiver process is. And what we learned during the initial filing was folks came out and talked about their own experience. And we learned something else, and it relates to a group that you've talked about repeatedly, which is the real estate industry. What we uncovered was at the end of April, the Real Estate Commission put out a memorandum, and it said, if you have customers that entered into a agreement before March 18th, 2018, you're okay. You can conduct in-person closings and walkthroughs and the typical things you would need to do to close a real estate transaction with appropriate safeguards. Right. However, if you, the contract was entered into after March 18th, you can't do any of that, which, again, makes no sense whatsoever. Why is it safe right. to conduct those, you know, conduct those steps to finalize a purchase of a home simply because the contract was entered into before some previous date? Now, keep in mind, this is when the contract was entered into. So the conduct and the contact with individuals is occurring after March 18th simply because a contract was entered into before an, what I think is an arbitrary, clearly an arbitrary date. And we were able to get two companies that were in the real estate industry, one a real estate broker and another a home inspector, that were able to challenge that policy. And what we found out from those folks was there were companies in the real estate industry who had been given waivers. So there are certain real estate industry firms out there that have waivers that are operating, and the rest of the real estate industry remains on shutdown. So this investigation is ongoing. It's evolving. And I'm sure we're going to, through the discovery process, learn a whole lot more about just what went on here.
Is your sense at this point of what you've learned that this is potentially due to somebody thinks this is, I'm not saying the governor, let's just say however this office is run, a contributor or politically advantageous, like the Crayola people were put in as life-sustaining. I love crayons and the Crayola, you know, but how's that life-sustaining versus some of these others? Or is it, this is just capricious, that one says do this, and if it is, Wally, for the first couple of days, okay, you come in and clean it up, and I think a court would say it was in the beginning, but they cleaned it up, ongoing. But they just continue this out of arrogance, it seems to me.
I think it's a little bit of everything. I'm sure okay. there's going to be certain firms that we find on there that were contributors or were insiders. I probably think it's largely more arbitrary. And when the Senate was upset that they didn't get the rules and standards, which is one of the things we claim in our lawsuit were non-existent, in response to their subpoena, I think the answer as to why they didn't get those rules and standards is very simple. They just don't exist.
Right.
And this was nothing short of throwing darts at a dartboard to find out who got waivers and who didn't. Who were the winners and who were the losers?
In case I didn't mention it to you, there's a guy named Rothman who would have it. You may know about this. I saw him testifying when they were going over these bills. He's a representative in Harrisburg who said he had a person in his district who mistakenly submitted twice. They hit the button twice. They glitched. The first time they got the waiver, the second when they hit the button, they didn't get the waiver. Same exact information. So, or the other way around. It just seems so capricious, so lacking in transparency. Now, Wally, a couple of other areas. Today, we had on the guy in Dauphin County who's leading the revolt there to say they're going to reopen on Friday, even though they're still at a red light. And he said he just got a threatening letter from the insurance commissioner during the interview, saying that you may have just untrammeled liability and not have insurance, any business owner that opens up on Friday. It just seems to me any court looking at this is going to say you have a state government that arguably is not just capricious, but when people challenge how capricious this is, they're using the full force of government to try to crush people.
I wasn't aware of that, but it brings up an interesting issue, which is First Amendment retaliation.
Yes.
Individuals and local officials have the right to petition the government for redress in court. They have a right to freely express their opinions. And if a government tries to retaliate, or state actors try to retaliate against that individual for merely exercising their First Amendment rights, that's a big problem for those state officials. I mean, it's like they're really doubling down here. And this is why it's important, Dom, is that properly mitigating this crisis relies on public trust. And if Governor Wolf and Secretary Levine want the public to trust them, they need to earn it. And they simply haven't done that by their actions. Their actions are completely contrary to their mantra, trust the data, trust the science. Everything is arbitrary. And if there's even a question about the process under which they're proceeding, it's crush it, punish it, and snuff out any form of dissent. I mean, that should scare everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the guy's name is Jeff Haste. I'm sure he would talk with you and give you the particulars and give you the letter and the whole thing. And again, he hasn't taken any action yet, and they're threatening his First Amendment right to push back against this. I mean, if he took action, then they take some action. That would be a court case, but it is rather amazing what's going on. Now, you told me, too, that there are, and I think it was at least a dozen, if not more, give or take, home rule charter towns that on their own, why do they have elevated standing, I guess the way I would put it, that if they said, we're going to reopen in our area, Wally, then Governor Wolf would have to go to court to stop them?
Well, Pennsylvania's got an interesting system of governance. It's a little bit like our federal system, where your listeners may be familiar with the concept of federalism. And there are certain powers reserved to the federal government's purview, and then the rest are reserved for the states. And you recall the controversy with President Trump when he said, I have absolute power. Folks at the New York Times lit themselves on fire. Governors jumped up and down. We have a similar system here in the Commonwealth. Under the Home Rule Charter Law, certain municipalities and even counties that have availed themselves of home rule can conduct themselves in a manner, in any manner, in which the state legislature has not expressly said you could not. So it's a mini federal system. Now, there's only a certain number of municipalities that are home rule municipalities. At least locally. There's more statewide. One of the probably the largest one would be Philadelphia. The argument would be that the local municipalities have co-equal authority with the governor, I think at a minimum, to respond to emergencies and to conduct their local municipalities consistent with an emergency plan. If they went forward with their own emergency plan, there's nothing in the Disaster Act under which the governor is operating that expressly says, at least to these home rule municipalities, that they can't do it. Now, I'm sure you're going to get pushback from the governor on this, and whether or not it would ultimately matriculate to a court challenge, we would see. But there is a basis in the Pennsylvania Constitution and statute that would empower local municipalities that have availed themselves to home rule to conduct themselves in that fashion.
Oh, that is excellent. I know Chalfont, I don't have your list in front of me, was another one. There's a ton of them out in the suburbs. I'll say it again before the end of the show, or the ones in our area that qualify. But boy, I got to tell you, thank God we have Wally on the case here. You're giving us hope. You're opening up the right way to go about this. And I think you said to me early on, and I thought it myself, yeah, Justice Alito was not going to move that lawsuit to the Supreme Court. Rightfully so. President Trump also, we're giving deference to governors, even if they've really gone out of control here. But when it comes to transparency and things that appear to be capricious or suspect, that's where the crackdown's going to come.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think the lesson is folks need to keep pressure on local officials. Demand counties open up. Demand right. Counties do what they can do within the confines of the law. I'm not a big fan of folks, you know, let's open up in defiance of the governor's order. I'm a law and order folk person. I think we're all law and order folks. We're not some third-rate banana republic where you just ignore the law. A lot of laws I don't agree with, but I still follow them. The proper way to do this is through the courts and by petitioning our local officials to pass duly authorized resolutions to open up. And you know what's interesting, Dom? You talk about transparency. You talk about capriciousness. I think what we're seeing is the budding of a tremendous scandal with these nursing homes. I mean, yes. If we have, I think it just, Secretary Levine may be a very qualified child psychologist and an expert in that field, but clearly she is incompetent to lead the response to this pandemic. We've seen it through the waivers. And which, listen, the waivers, as bad as it is, it's largely an economic issue, an economic hardship that's being placed on folks that were aggrieved by that. This nursing home issue, people died. Not only that, because she refuses to extract nursing home deaths from the what I think is a totally arbitrary counting methodology, the lockdowns in those areas where nursing home deaths, which I think she caused, are prolonging the lockdowns because they're being included. And this is something that we had a plan in place, and the most vulnerable weren't protected. So I'm not sure who it was that the state senator that called for her resignation today. I think he's absolutely correct, and I don't know how much longer she can withstand this.
Hopefully that'll be the case. Hey, Wally, thank you so much. I'm just thrilled who listens to talk radio and that you're out there in the moment of need. So keep us updated. Hopefully some of these things will break pretty soon.
Well, thank you, Dom, for all you're doing and leading the charge here.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.